We are going to talk today on a great story and a wonderful picture of God's mercy and a certain aspect of God's mercy in rescuing us that I think is very important for us to understand and that we see not just in this story, but throughout Scripture. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 19. And if you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand. We have one right over there in the Bible Lost and Found there. Feel free to grab one so we can be on the same page here with turning to a few different passages. You know, there's such a wonderful picture of love in the idea of someone taking by the hand and leading along. We think of those wonderful pictures that we see of a father with a son or a mother with a daughter or whoever it is, of a little tyke walking along, and what is the parent doing? They take the hand and they say, come on, we're going this way. And so they're kind of leaning over, bending over to take him. Lars isn't quite to that step yet. He's solely carrying around right now. That picture strikes us with such tenderness. Or you think of the person who says, forceful way, come on, we're going here. I'm taking you with me. We're going this way. It's of safety as well when you're crossing the street and saying, here, let's hold hands. Everybody hold hands. We're crossing the street now. This is where we're going. And it even gets a little more dramatic when you think of, the stories we hear of, remember, the person standing in front of the approaching car and they don't see it. And what happens? The person comes sprinting across the street and grabs them and says, and pulls them physically out of the way. Have you ever thought and kind of had a daydream about yourself being in that situation, what you would do if, you know, there was a car coming and you went and dove and pushed them out of the way, and there was this great, you had this great, work of sparing them. I thought of this, this kind of picture, when we get to the story of Genesis chapter 19 and the story of a man named Lot. Lot is, how do we describe Lot? How do we describe who Lot was and what the fundamental picture of his life was? Scripture tells us, I think that's probably a pretty good example. Scripture tells us that Lot was at his core a righteous man. A righteous man. We look at some of his actions in this story and we say, man, that seems kind of hard to believe. But we have the testimony of Scripture that he was a righteous man. And this righteous man was living in a city of overwhelming wickedness, as we will see in this story. Over the top wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the judgment of God is to be rained down upon this city. And we see in God's actions toward Lot a wonderful picture of his mercy towards us, and it's a mercy that initiates. It's a mercy of God going in and saying, Lot, it's time to get out of here. And then when Lot is lingering, when he is tarrying, it's the mercy of God for the angels to grab him by the hand and say, Lot, we're getting out of here. We're going. So we're going to talk today about this story, and we're going to say, led by the hand. Led by the hand. In this story, we need to start first with iniquity. We see in this story a great picture of rebellion and of sin in the eyes of a holy God. And it starts with a city. That city is Sodom. Now, we are familiar, I think, or we will become familiar today, with one of the primary sins of Sodom. Incredible concupiscence and sexual sin against God, rebellion against his principles. But that wasn't all that Lot had. That wasn't all that Sodom was characterized. We sometimes think that's the only one, but then we go later in the Old Testament, and what does Scripture tell us? Sodom had fullness of bread. They were selfish. They hoarded for themselves. They were idle. They were slothful. They were lazy. And actually, in that depiction of Sodom's sins, these kind of sexual sins are not even mentioned. It's their pride and their idleness and their fullness of bread. So this was a place of great wickedness before God. As I mentioned in chapter 18, when the Lord says to Abraham, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. The idea of sin being very grievous, grief-causing, and also the idea of being extremely great, being a horrible, shocking sin, we would have seen very clearly in this city of Sodom. This, we also see a citizen of this wicked city. This man is Lot. Now, how did Lot get to such a place? How did he get to this city, and how did he become part of dwelling there? Well, it goes back a number of chapters in Genesis. Abraham and Lot were living together. They were dwelling together, and there became a point at which they said, you know what? Our herds, our cattle, we cannot be together. It's too much. The land cannot bear us. And so Abraham, being a very godly man and a very meek man, says to his relative Lot, he says, you know, Lot, you choose. You to say where you're going to go, and then I'll go the other way. So there will be room for us both to feed our flocks. Now, where does Lot look to? Lot looks all around and he says, hey, this area heading towards Sodom looks like it has some really nice green grass. It has some really abundant pastures. It has some very, very beautiful fields. I'm taking that one. Mine. Here's where I'm going. Abraham says, okay, all right, I'll go this way. Then we see Lot, after being with Abraham and looking there and saying, I'm going that way, I'm going that away. Then it says, Scripture tells us that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. So now he sets up shop pointing in that direction. He's heading that way. And he's going there toward that city. Well, then we don't learn exactly what happens to him. Scripture doesn't say. But now we come to chapter 19. A man who at one point had been living with the man who had exercised such great faith, a man of God, Abraham. Lot had been living with him and dwelling around him. Now suddenly he takes some steps towards Sodom. And then now he's even further pitching his tent towards Sodom. And now we see that when these two angels came to Sodom, they were the ones who were coming to investigate the wickedness of the city. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, right in the gate. He was there. He was dwelling in the midst of that city. At some point, Lot had said, you know what? The suburbs aren't good enough for me. I'm going downtown. Now, I shouldn't be one to talk as one who lives downtown, but he said, I'm going to the city. And this idea that Lot was in the gate of the city is important. It suggests that he was a leader in the city. He was a well-known man in the city. The gate was the place of the esteemed and important men and leaders of the city. And Lot was sitting there right in the gate. So we see this man who has certainly been around a great man of God. Suddenly now, he is dwelling in the midst of a place of great iniquity. And this citizen is also marked by comfort. The comfort that Lot has, we'll see even greater illustrated in the as we move forward through this story. But we're going to see how this man had gone from dwelling with Abraham, of being around a man of God, to suddenly becoming a person who's very content where he is, very comfortable where he is. Now, let's understand, we don't want to give him too bad. We don't want to give him a rap that is dishonest, because Scripture does say that he was vexed with the sin of the city. He was vexed with the unrighteousness day by day that he saw in the city. And yet, he wasn't vexed enough to get out of there. He wasn't vexed enough to save his daughters and his children from there. We understand that his daughters were engaged to men of that city. And certainly that would have been a significant problem. And those men didn't make it. They refused the call that Lot made to them. Now, this is a couple pictures I think we can take from this. One is the great danger of backsliding. The great danger of backsliding. When we are separating from the people of God and we are pitching our tent toward the world and toward sin, and sin becomes very appealing to us. And we, as it were, pitch our tent toward Sodom. We say, that's the direction that I am pursuing. You see that in young people who grow up in Christian homes. And they're taught wonderful truths. They're taught Scripture. They know what's true, but what they can't get their eyes off. That looks pretty appealing. I wonder what the world is doing over there. I wonder what the world is listening to. I wonder what's going on over here. And their attention is fully directed towards Sodom. They're pitching their tent towards Sodom. Because the danger of this is that unless the Lord, there's repentance and the Lord is bringing us back, eventually we're going to be living in Sodom. We're going to be living in that compromise. We're going to be living and we're going to become comfortable and fat and dulled spiritually to that kind of great iniquity that's going around us. You know, have you ever noticed that maybe in your workplace, if your workplace is very coarse in the language that is used, what happens? It doesn't even become that big a deal to you anymore. You say, okay, well, I'm kind of used to this kind of language. Or people blaspheming or despising God, after a while, it loses the sting that it has for you. You say, well, okay, it's kind of dirt off my shoulder. Whatever. I that just happens all the time. And we can see that in sin as well, where we become desensitized to sin. The second picture of this, though, is when we understand God's judgment coming on the city. Sodom being as a picture of God's destruction towards sin and hatred of sin. And we see Lot dwelling in the midst here is, if he does not leave, there's going to be destruction. We think of that great book by John Bunyan, The Pilgrim's Progress, where there is the man who is in the city of destruction, and he's got to get out. Judgment is coming. He's got to get to the celestial city. And so in a sense, there's a picture here of salvation as well, of rescue from destruction, that in our sinful state, there is destruction coming. In man's rejection and rebellion of God, the end of that path is destruction to all those. And there needs to be rescue from that. So we see iniquity. There's a city, there's a citizen, and there's a comfort. And then we see the initiation. The initiation here comes as a result of the visit from the angels. The initiation, the picture of this, is God going to Lot and saying, Lot, I'm going to destroy this place. You've got to get out. This was not Lot looking and saying, oh, this sinful place is pretty bad. I got to get out of the city of destruction here. This is, no doubt God's going to bring some fiery judgment on this. No, that wasn't him. That was God going to him and saying, Lot, it's time to get out. It starts with a confirmation. A confirmation of the great wickedness that was in that city. have time to really dive into this, but let's just read through it. I'll read through it so we can get through this. I see our time already flying, and I have already done a terrible job these last few weeks of getting us out on time. Verse 4, but before they lay down, that is to bed, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. Now this word know is used in Scripture as a euphemism for sexual relations. They said, bring these men out that we may abuse them. Awful. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. We see how deeply bathed in this culture that Lot was. Now we understand the great, social necessity was for hospitality. Hospitality was, if two people are visiting, you better die before they do, because those are the ones that are hospitality was such a huge part in this culture. But even that, there is absolutely no excuse. What a heinous thing for Lot, instead of standing up to these men, to say, hey, would you like my daughters instead? Here, they can satisfy your lust. They can satisfy you. You deal with them as you would with these men. Horrible, horrible, horrible act, and a cowardly act by Lot. And so how do the men respond? And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow, that is Lot, came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. What are you trying to do, lord over us? Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. This was a sign of miraculous strength by these men. They grab Lot while these men are coming after him to saying, what are you talking about? You're going to lecture us. You're going to be our judge. And they pull him in and slam that door shut on the house. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. So these just beasts, they couldn't even really be called men. They're just acting as brute beasts. The angels strike them with blindness, and suddenly they can't see. That's a pretty effective way to a weapon to use, I think. Here, you're attacking me. How about you're blind now? And good luck. Good luck.
That's about training. I could comment on that, but I'll leave it.
Yeah, there we go, Johnny.
That's a whole other story.
That's right.
That's right.
So, verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. We see this communication. The communication of the angels to Lot is very simple. This place has a death sentence on it. This place has destruction going toward this city. It's time to get out. And there is the call. Do you have anyone else here? Do you have anyone else that's around here? Come get them. If you don't get them, they will be destroyed. So what does Lot do? Lot goes to his sons-in-law, those that were engaged to his daughters, and says, guys, get out of here. Judgment is coming. Now here's the picture of what the example was with them. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. We understand that to be the betrothal that was essentially in that day as if they were married already, though they had not actually come together as husband and wife. Which married his daughters and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They said, yeah, good one. Good joke. His testimony as a righteous man was so non-credible to them that they simply mocked him. But what do we take from this confirmation, from this communication, from this call? This is God moving first. This is not Lot moving. This is God initiating his mercy to Lot to say, Lot, there's destruction coming. Get out. Lot, we're coming to take you because the judgment of God is pronounced upon this wicked city of Sodom. You know, there is a great debate, probably one of the greatest theological debates in Christianity, would be between is the role that man has in salvation. The role that we have in our own salvation. There are those that would say it is fully of God, and it is God that works regeneration in our heart, and faith is a gift, and God gives us that gift, and so we have no part in it. There are those that would say, no, our part is the role of a beggar with a gift. Simply, faith is opening our hands to what God's gift is. That's not a work. That's not something that is our own work of righteousness that we are doing. But God shows us, we have this communication from the Word of God that says judgment is coming, and then we grab that by faith. Now, we don't need to get into that for the purposes of this story, but we do need to understand something. That the first work in our salvation, the first movement, is not ours. It's God's. It is God's mercy that initiates to us and says, there is a problem. Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's the Holy Spirit that goes and convinces us, convicts us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. It is His work in us that allows us to see. Let's, just as an example of this, turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, in the New Testament, we see this, I think, illustrated wonderfully in the life of a woman named Lydia. In verse 13 of chapter 16, we see, and on the Sabbath, we, that's Luke talking of Paul, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. We see this initiation of the Lord's mercy in Lydia's heart. Her heart was open to the things of God. Her mind was open. She said, aha, that makes sense. I get it. We see the same kind of principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we need to understand that our salvation, our understanding of the gospel, was not because our human reasoning said, oh, this makes sense. I got it now. Why? Because the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. The things of God to those, the carnal, those who the God of this world has blinded the minds. They don't get it. Christianity is foolishness to them. It is those, the Spirit of God working in our hearts and saying, this is truth. Here's what the Word of God says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The initiation in this step is from God. And God was the one who went into Sodom, the angels who went into Sodom and said, Lot, this place is going to be destroyed, and you need to get out. Let's understand third, even greater, and a wonderful step, we see insistence. Insistence. This is demonstrated in Genesis 19 and verse 15 to 16. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot. Hurry, let's go, Lot. Saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. Okay, come on, Lot. Let's go. Let's go, Lot. And while he lingered, you imagine, God has come to you. Two angels have come to you. You've already seen the miraculous work that they've done. You know that these guys are legit. They're telling the truth. And they come to you and say, get out. There's a death sentence here. Fire of God is going to rain down in this place. You got to get out. Judgment is coming. And what do they say? What does Lot say? Look around. Okay, let me see. I'm not quite ready to go yet. I need to look around over here. He lingered. I think this is an evidence of Lot's comfort in the city. And we don't know for sure, Scripture doesn't tell us, whether this was kind of a longing for what he still had left. Maybe he thought, I've built up so many years of possessions in this. Am I really ready to go? I've even gotten to the gate of the city. I'm a leader now. Am I going to give all this up? We don't know whether it was that or maybe there was a more innocent explanation. But in this lingering, danger to him. So what did the angels do? And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. The Lord being merciful to this poor man named Lot, this righteous man, but who was so fully trapped in the iniquity of the world, that they laid hold upon his hand and said, come on, we're getting out of here. Let's understand what this shows. We understand the delay. The lingering. You know, this is a characteristic that maybe you've seen in people who are lost, those who have not come to Christ. The Spirit convicts them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. You can see the work of convicting work of God in their life. And what do they say? I'm not ready yet. I'm lingering. I don't want to give up this yet. I don't want to give up this sin. I don't want to give this up. I don't want to become a Christian. I don't want to really follow God. I'm really not sure about it. I like where I am right now. And there's that great delay that we see. And what a grief it is to those of us who are saved and are witnessing to someone. Don't you see? There's destruction coming. Then there's the divine hand. What a wonderful picture this is to us. The hand of God reaching out and saying, no, I'm serious. It's time to go. And we think of these different, another picture that came to mind, you might have think of other ones, is the picture of Jeremiah down in the dungeon. Jeremiah the prophet's been cast down into the dungeon because he's got such an unpopular message. And the Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, comes and puts down into there these old rags and cast clouts. They tied together some ropes and they put them down there and he puts them under his arms and he's pulled up. The idea of the hand reaching down to pull up. Praise God that when you have lingered in sin, God's mercy didn't stop the first time, coming after you the first time. Praise God that when you have lingered, that before you were saved, and you lingered and said, I'm not ready to give in, God didn't say, okay, all right, see ya. See ya, Lot. I'm heading out. I gave you a chance. You're lingering. What a wonderful mercy that God has that says, no, I'm coming back. I'm convicting you again. I'm convincing you again some more. And if it were the picture of, I'm even grabbing you by the hand to say, no, we really are going.
Getting out of a burning building.
That's right. You think of Paul, who was knocked down on the road to Damascus. That's a fairly dramatic picture of God's work in salvation. But this picture of the divine hand, I'm reminded of that wonderful hymn, And Can It Be? 'Tis mercy all, immense and free. For, oh my God, it found out me. That's the picture of mercy. Finding out me. God reaching down to us and saying, here is this communication. Here is my call. Get out. There is great judgment coming. And then finally we see the deliverance. Scripture says that not only did they lead him by the hand, and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. They said, you got to get out of here. Judgment is coming. And there was great deliverance. So, led by the hand, God rescues us in mercy. And let's understand that when we are looking at our own salvation, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done. Lot's salvation did not consist in him saying, oh, I figured it out now, there's great sin here, I got to get out of here. Lot's salvation, if you will, from Sodom came in God reaching out to him and saying, Lot, you got to get out of here. There's great wickedness. And then in the great, wonderful insistence of the divine hand saying, we really are getting out of here. You know, let's not take any pride. Let's not take any in our own salvation. Let's not take any sense of self-worth in saying, I'm saved. I've got a leg up on all you folks over here. I figured it out. I got it. No, Scripture says it is not of works so that we don't boast, so that we don't think that we've done something special, but that it's God's mercy that has reached out to us, that is initiated, as it were. The Lord opens our hearts, opens our eyes to see the truth, and then there's that great mercy that continues to come back for us while we linger. And if you have never received Christ, if you are still in that lingering state, if you are still in that one that is drawing back and saying, yes, the Spirit has convicted me, but I'm still drawing back. I'm not quite ready to go there. Let today be your day of salvation. Let today be the day that you finally repent, that you finally say, okay, I'm cooperating with you in this plan. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this story of your great mercy to a man named Lot. Thank you for the initiation of your mercy to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were the children of wrath, you cared for us enough, that you loved us before we loved you. And Lord, I ask that if there is anybody here that has not accepted that gift of salvation for themselves today, that they have resisted your call to their life, that today would be the day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.